song leader is our brother Tom Milligan. Our opening prayer will be led by our brother Wiley Edwards. And our speaker this morning is our brother Gilbert Baldwin. His sermon is titled, Why Are There So Many Churches? The scripture for this morning's sermon be taken from the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 17, and verses 1 through 6. And our scripture reader this morning is our brother Roy Darnell. Presiding at the Lord's table will be our brother Charles Hopkins, Jr., and myself. And then in closing this morning, our brother Vince Shimatero, he'll lead us in our closing prayer. Now, 628, I think, Brother Tom? Yep, 628. So hymn number 628, that'll be our first hymn this morning. 628. And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we're so humble and thankful, Father, that you've blessed each and all here, Father, with another day of life and the health and strength and wherewithal, Lord, to rise up out of our beds on the first day of the new week, Father, and that we can openly assemble together, Father, that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we pray that if there be those among us, Lord, that are subject to Thy invitation in any way this morning, Father, that You might bless them with the courage to make their needs known, Father, while Your grace and mercy is extended unto them, Father. Lord, we just pray that all of our acts of worship unto Thee this morning would be decent in order and well-pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Father. And we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dark and fire and sword, oh, how our heart beats high with joy, whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers' holy faith, we will be true to Thee till death. Our fathers made it prison dark, we're still in heart and conscience free, as we would be their children's fate if they like them. Could die for Thee. Faith of our Father's holy faith, we will be true to Thee till death. Faith of our Father, we will love, hope, grant, and hope in all our strife. And preach Thee to and love those how by kindly word and virtuous life. Faith of our Father's holy faith, we will be sure to Thee till death.
Our opening prayer should point to
take time to be holy, seek God with thy Lord. Abide in him always, God His Word. May the strength of God's children help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to see. Take time to be holy, the world watches on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Abiding in Jesus, like His house shall be. Thy friend in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide, and run not before Him, whatever betides. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in His Word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Eat all any motive, His control. Thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service of God.
Let us bow. Father, we are so humble and so thankful this morning because You still tolerate each and every one of us, Lord, and You seem fit to open our eyes this morning and to give us the strength, the desire, and the willpower to come here, Lord, to worship with Thee. Thanking You ever so much, Father, for Your patience. Thanking You, Lord, that I'm so grateful and so thankful to have a first day of the week where we all can come together on the same accord to worship the one true Savior, worshiped You as our Creator of the heavens and the earth. We're so grateful and thankful, Father, for the best of health and strength that You've given each and every one of us. And more important, Father, You offer to all of mankind another invitation to salvation, especially those that might be lost. And on this day, they have the opportunity to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to be baptized and wash away their sins and have their name added to the Book of Life. Father, even more important, we thank You that You demonstrated Your love for each and every one of us, allowing Your only begotten Son to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And we are so grateful and thankful, Father, that on this day that we have the privilege and the honor to commune with Him, to give thanks Father, we are so privileged to have one another and to greet each other on this day with a smile and a handshake and just a fellowship. Lord, giving each and every one of us the opportunity to have a right to eternal life. Lord, at this time, we want to extend this heartfelt prayer to all of the precious souls that are on our prayer list. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful that you are all-knowing God, all-knowing Father, who knows each and everyone's needs. We just pray, Lord, that at this time that you will reach out and touch each and every one of them with your tender mercy and your healing hands. And just to give them the willpower and the desire to see another day and to go through another day. And Lord, at this time, we want to pray that all of the words that proceed from our mouth, the songs that we sing, and our way of worship will be pleasing, Lord, and acceptable unto thee. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before partition of the communion service, let's sing number 625. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful heaven and purity. May his spirit refine all my being refined. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. When your burden is heavy and hard to bear, when your neighbors refuse all your load to share, when you're feeling so blue, don't know if what to do, let the beauty of Jesus be seen. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think of he was beguiled, set aside and reviled, let the beauty of Jesus be seen. From the dawn of the morning to the close of day, in his temple is deep and strong you stay. Lay your gift at his feet, ever strive to be sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus change you.
We've come to the part of our worship service now where we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. In Sunday school this morning, our brother Charles was walking us through the institution of Passover, where in Egypt, before their departure, the Israelites were to take blood from an unblemished lamb and spread it across their doorpost. And that way the Lord would know which houses to pass over in his killing of the firstborns in an effort to free the people from Egypt. We were talking about all the parallels and foreshadowing of the Passover and thus the Passover feast to Christ's crucifixion and the Lord's Supper, you know, which is the memorial for Christ's crucifixion. Christ being that unblemished, perfect Lamb of God, whose blood cleanses us from our unrighteousness. And we have the Lord's Supper to help us remember that, like they had the Passover feast we were talking about in Bible class this morning. So I was just going to briefly read a couple verses here. This is coming from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church there, you know, giving them some context for what the Lord's Supper is. 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And so, brothers and sisters, we have those two emblems before us, the bread which represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the cup, or the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. So this is a time, just as the Passover feast was long ago, this is a time where we can remember and reflect on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a memorial of sorts in partaking of these emblems. So we'll give thanks for the bread and partake, and then we'll do so for the cup or the fruit of the vine. So at this time, let's bow and offer thanks for the bread. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, for his willingness to come to earth, Father, to set the example that he did, lead the perfect life that he led, Father, and ultimately his willingness to go to the cross and be the sacrifice, be the Lamb of God, Father, for our sins. And Lord, as we partake of this bread which represents his body, Father, we pray that you'd help us to clear our hearts and minds, Father, that we'd reflect back to the cross, reflect back to Christ, and that in doing that, Father, that we might partake of this bread in a way and in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together on the first day of the week, to come together in remembrance of thy great plan of salvation, where you sent your only begotten Son to this world, Heavenly Father, and where he willingly gave his life on that cross, becoming that perfect lamb without spot or blemish. He was free of sin, Heavenly Father. And he loved this world so, Heavenly Father, that he was willing to give his life so that we may have hope at eternal salvation. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine, we represent thy Son's precious blood, that we do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
We try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible somebody might have inadvertently been missed in the passing of the bread or the cup. So if you happen to be missed in either emblem, if you'd signal to us now by raising your hand, and you'll be served at this time. Don't see any hands, so that concludes the Lord's Supper. Next, we'll move into another portion, another act of worship on the first day of the week, and that concerns giving. In the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 there, the Apostle Paul clarifies that, you know, giving is a part of worship. It's an act of worship on the first day of the week. But I just wanted to briefly read one book over. This is the Apostle Paul writing again to the church. He's describing the manner and mindset that we have to give. That although it's a commandment, it's a part of worship, really it's an opportunity, and one that we should approach, you know, with that cheerful, willing mindset. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll start at verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So as we just read there, brothers and sisters, it's a part, it's an act of worship, it's part of our commanded worship on the first day of the week, but it's really an opportunity to show just a portion of our appreciation to our Lord for all the things that He's done with us. Obviously, we all have opportunity for salvation, but even those little things that sometimes we forget about, right? Just getting up out of our beds this morning, having a job to be able to provide, all those things that the Lord blessed us with. So, you know, something to keep in mind as we have that opportunity to give back, and what the mindset in our hearts should be as we do so. So at this time, let us go to God and give thanks for that opportunity. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again just bow before that mighty throne, Father. Lord, at this time, we're ever mindful and thankful, Father, for all the many, many blessings of life that you've richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. And Lord, at this time, as we have that opportunity as part of worship on the first day of the week, Father, that we could just give back a small portion of what you've richly bestowed upon us, Father. We pray that we'd have a willing and cheerful heart, Father, that we'd have that right heart and mindset as we do so, and that the contribution and collection received, Father, would help to further the work of the church and broaden the borders of your kingdom, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
song of invitation after the lesson this morning will be number 10 in the black book. Number 10 in the black book. Then before the lesson, our scripture reading, that's page number 629. 629. If you can't, please stand if you sing this song. Angry word, oh let it never cross a tongue unbridled. May the heart and impulse ever stand and restore the wind. Love one another, thus is a danger. Children obey the Father's last command. Love one another, thus is a danger. Love is hard to pure and holy, friendship is to sacred fire. For a love, a precious folly, thought to desolate and far. Love one another, us is a savior. Children obey the Father's last command. Love one another, us is a savior. Children obey the last command. Angry word, our life is spoken, restless thought, our ashes stirred. Rising, our life are broken, by a single angry word. Love one another, the same
This morning's lesson is entitled, Why Are There So Many Churches? The scripture reading will come from the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the King James Version. It says, And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with them. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now, Brother Gilbert Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see all who could be here today for this service. Certainly, we thank God for blessing us, giving us health and strength, just to be able to come out and be a part of the service. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God is not good just some of the time. God is not good just most of the time. Like Mama used to say, he's a shown-up God. Because he's shown-up good all the time. Good to see everybody today. We're thankful to God once again for all that he does for us. You know, didn't God put you to sleep last night? Didn't he watch over us as we slept all night long? Didn't he touch us with the finger of love and cause us to knock the sleep from our eyes today? And hopefully we're going about his business in our right minds. Well, we say to all of our guests, to all of our visitors, welcome. We're so happy that you could be with us today. We're always happy to receive visitors here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. And we hope your visit is going to be uplifting and rewarding and inspiring for you today. No strangers in the house, just friends who we have not met. Amen. Well, we hope everyone has brought the Bible today because we believe in preaching from the Bible. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40 in the verses 8, it says, "The grass would wither and the flower thereof would fade away, but the word of our God endureth forever." Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away." We believe that the Bible is right. All 1,189 chapters are right. Cannot be wrong. All 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament, 66 books are right. Cannot be wrong. Two testaments, Old Testament, New Testament, are right. Cannot be wrong. And they all talk about one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We're not concerned about mama-ology. We're not concerned about papa-ology. We're not concerned about reverendology. We're only concerned about what God has said. So, if you've come today ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul, then I just believe we've got a word for you today from the Lord. So, if you will, turn your Bibles to our text. Matthew 17. I won't read it again. We're thankful for Brother Roy for reading so well for us today. Sermon title, Why Are There So Many Churches? Why are there so many churches? I think that's a very good question, and I'm so glad that today we have the answer for that question. You know, we have a problem in the world today. Wonder why we ever have so much crime? Do you wonder why we have so much drug abuse, immorality, and so many family problems? We got people stealing from one another, people killing, people lying one another. Ever wonder why we've got all these problems? You know, words like active shooter, we never used to hear that. We got all that going on. Road rage, bad times. The one that's really knocked me down for the last few days is, how could anyone strangle a two-year-old baby? So many things are going on in our world today that just don't add up. We've got so much corruption in our city, our state, and our national governments. Why are we having so many wars and rumors of wars, and why is Russia so intent on demolishing Ukraine? Why is all that going on? But you know, most of the problems that exist in our world today, they can be summed up in one word: sin. You know, when it comes to that little word, sin, it's not the S in sin that bothers me, Brother Bob. It's not the N in sin that bothers me, Brother Mike. If that little letter in the middle, anytime sin invades my life, anytime sin invades your life, it's because we've sinned. Anytime we have sin has entered into your life, I can tell you how I got there. It's because we have put our will before God's will. Sin will show up. John says in John chapter 3 and verse 4, it is the transgression of God's law. He also said sin is unrighteousness. Everything that is unrighteous is sin. You know, ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we have been living under the umbrella of sin. Sin is the problem in our lives. Paul said, wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, because he said, for all, not y'all, but all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Now that all means mama, daddy, brothers, sisters, elders, deacons, preachers, teachers, church members. Everybody has sinned. So Paul sums it up, as he says in Romans 3, in verses 23, he says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. I'm so glad that he said, come short, and I'm so glad that we have a God who loves short people. Because I've come up short, you've come up short. So since you and I have come up short, God had to do something for us that we could not do for ourselves. You see, the problem with sin is that you're either a part of the problem or you're part of the solution. Now, we all know that we must be a part of the problem, because we just read that we have all sinned, all come short of the glory of God. But in Romans 3, verses 23, the Bible says that sin has a payday. The Bible says the wages, the benefits, the 401k, the benefit package for sin is death. Now, when we read about death in the Bible, it doesn't always mean that physical death. We're talking also about spiritual death. The Bible talks about three types of deaths: the physical death, with it, the separation of the soul from the body. Then the Bible talks about a spiritual death. You can be alive physically, but because we don't have a relationship with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are alive in the flesh but dead spiritually. Because God knows you by creation, not by regeneration. So that person is a dead man or a dead woman walking. Then we go and talk about that second death. Go to Revelation chapter 20. The verse is 15. It says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Listen, a second death. In order to avoid a second death, you've got to participate in the second birth. If you're born once, you got to die twice. But if you're born twice, you only have to die once. The second death is a permanent, eternal separation from God in a devil's hell. But we can escape that second death. But you have to participate in the second birth. So since we've all sinned and we're all on death row under the penalty of eternal damnation, I'm just glad that I know a bail bondsman by the name of Jesus who paid a debt he did not owe. And I owe a debt that I cannot pay. John 3:16. John 3:16 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible and has been since I was a little kid. If I didn't have any other part of the Bible to preach from, just give me John 3:16. I could preach from that because John 3:16 is filled with superlatives. Listen to what it says. For God, the greatest being, so loved the greatest act, the world, the greatest object, that he gave his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever believeth in him, the greatest privilege, should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the greatest gift that was ever promised to anybody. So I just wonder today if there's anybody out here in this audience who is willing to accept that gift. I don't have a prayer cloth to offer you. I can't lay my hands on you and heal you from anything. I don't have any other blessing plan other than the one you can read about in the Word of God. If there's anybody here who won't accept Jesus, my friend, I offer you Jesus. I'm not offering you me because I come up short. Short of the glory of God. I'm not offering you our elder or deacon, who are good men. But they will tell you they come up short of the glory of God. I'm not offering you any of our great song leaders that we have out here. I'm offering you Jesus. I can't certify the people in the church, but I can certify the one who started the church. So, my friends, I come to you today because there must be something inside of you that you are craving. You've had enough girlfriends, had enough boyfriends. Now you need a real friend. I offer you Calvary. I offer you Christ. But stand now, understand, sin separates us from God. Isaiah said that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Listen. But your iniquity, but your sin is separated between you and your God. That he will not hear. See, God wants to have a relationship with you. He's reaching out to you right now. When you go over there and read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you can write down the very sin right now in your mind, write down the very sin in your mind that is standing between you and God. Now, if you say you don't have any sin, that's your first sin. You're lying. I don't just want visitors to do this. I want church members. Just think about that sin that may be separating you from God right now. Is it stealing? Is it lying? Is it adultery? Is it drug use? Is it strife? Is it forsaking the assembling? Is it hateration? Hateration. See, I don't worry about hateration because Hateration leads to elevation, and elevation leads to celebration. Am I right? Because if you hate on me long enough, I read somewhere where Jesus said, I'll make your enemy become your footstool. The last time I checked, footstool is something you step on so that you can step up. All right. In order to be saved, we must hear Jesus. Well, back to my text. I got off a little bit there. In my text, we find that Jesus, 6 days after he preached that great sermon, that's in Matthew chapter 16, remember, on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, when he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. 6 days later, he takes Peter, James, and John. I call them the triad of the 12, the people who were the closest to him. He took them up on the mountain with him. Jesus, the Bible said, that Greek word for a transformation is the word we use for metamorphosis. Jesus went through a metamorphosis. They got a chance to see Jesus in his celestial glory. They got a chance to see Jesus like they'd never seen him before. Because the Bible says he was transfigured. And his raiment began to shine brighter than a noonday sun. And when Peter, James, and John saw all of that going on, they knew they were having a hallelujah time up in the mountain. Amen. But it didn't stop there. Then they saw Moses, that great emancipator, that great liberator. That great man from the Old Testament that God called upon to go deliver his people from Egypt. You remember how Moses one day saw this Egyptian beating up on one of his Hebrew brothers. Moses intervened. He ended up killing that Egyptian. Well, the word got back to old Pharaoh that Moses had killed an Egyptian. Pharaoh sent his cops out there to get him. They were looking for Moses. Moses was a fugitive. He was on the run. He went all the way down to Midian. He became a friend of a man by the name of Jethro. He became a shepherd. He married one of Jethro's daughters. One day while Moses was out there tending Jethro's sheep, he saw off in the distance a bush that was burning, but it was not being consumed. Moses got closer. Now, as he walked closer, he heard a voice say, take off your shoes, because the ground you're walking on is holy ground. And at that time, God commissioned Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You all know the story, how he led them out of Egypt. Led them through the Red Sea, how they had all those problems out there in the wilderness. You know, God got so upset with that original group of folk that he decided that none of those original folk, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, would even enter into the promised land. Even Moses didn't make it. But God loved Moses. God loved him. God even eulogized his body when he died. Then they saw Elijah. Elijah over there on the mountaintop. You know, Moses was the law, but Elijah was the prophet. So we've got the law and the prophet on the mountain with Jesus. You remember Elijah prayed one time, and for 3.5 years it did not rain. Then he prayed again, and the heavens opened up again. And then he went up on Mount Carmel one time and withstood the 450 prophets of Baal. He came down victorious. Then he suffered a bout with depression. God spoke to him out of the whirlwind and said, I've got 7,000 just like you who have not bowed their knee to Baal. God didn't even wait for him to die. God loved him so much, he sent a taxi for him in the form of a chariot of fire. Pick him up. Came down and took Elijah on back to glory. So now we've got two great men on the mountaintop with Jesus. Peter got beside himself. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And anytime God calls a meeting, it's good. And then he said, Lord, to memorialize this great occasion, can we at least build three tabernacles? You know, a tabernacle was a booth or a place of worship in the Old Testament. So in essence, he was saying, God, can we build three churches? We'll build a church of Christ. We'll build a church of Moses. We'll build a church of Elijah. And the Bible says, while Peter yet spake, a cloud overshadowed them. And the voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God interrupted from on high and said, Peter, in other words, you're speaking out of turn. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We're not listening to the law anymore. Hear ye him. We're not listening to the prophets anymore. Hear ye him. Think about it. As great as Moses was, standing up there on booming and shaking Mount Sinai, as he watched the finger of God manipulate into writing the Ten Commandments. Moses, who was so great that God eulogized his body. As great as Moses was, God said, I don't want a church named after Moses or Elijah. You know, Elijah was the prophet of prophets. God loved him so much, as I just said. He couldn't wait for him to die. He picked him up early. Only two men that we read about in the Bible who did not die. Enoch, the Bible says, walked by faith. God took him. And Elijah, as I just mentioned, God sent a chariot to pick him up. But the Bible says, everybody else, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt be. He was great. Elijah was so great. Moses was so great. But God said, I don't want a church named after them. I don't want a church after either one. Now just think about it for a moment. These men were the pillars of the Bible. They both were outstanding. But listening to God, he's letting them know he didn't want them to have a church named after him. Neither one. But hear ye Jesus is what he kept saying. He said, the only church that I'm going to recognize is the one after Christ. Church, Christ's church, the church of Christ. Now, if God didn't want Moses to have a church named after him, just think about it for a moment. How do you think God feels about Mount Nemo, Mount Sinai, St. John, St. Paul? If God didn't want a church named after Elijah, how do you think about it? How do you think God feels about all of these churches now, wearing all of these names, bringing glory and praise to everything but Christ? You need to be a member of the church that you can read about in the Bible. Matthew chapter 16 and the verses 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build whose church? My church. Is how many churches? One church. It's whose church is it? It's Christ's church, or the church of Christ. I'm just trying to show you what the Bible says about this church. There was only one. It was called the Church of Christ, Romans 16, 16. It was started AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem. Its founder is Jesus Christ. Now, the devil couldn't stop the church coming in. So what he did, Brother Charlie, he came up with a counterfeit church, a lot of counterfeit churches. These churches would resemble certain aspects of the church, and it would keep a lot of people confused on finding the church. Now, the Church of Christ will tell you, we'll go back to the Bible. We'll call Bible things Bible names. Let's do Bible things Bible ways. Okay. In the Church of Christ, we sing. We commune each Sunday, according to Acts 20, verse 7. We preach. We pray. We give. Well, some of us. Right. Those are the five items of worship. So what did you do to be saved? Let me ask you this question. Are you saved? Are you in between? Are you lost? You know, God looked down the stream of time, trying to find good men to play a part in the plan of salvation. But God couldn't find anybody to do what Jesus did. God called on a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was married to a woman by the name of Sarah. Sarah, as you remember, was barren. And when Abraham was about 100, no, they didn't have fertility drugs back then. Sarah was about 90. God showed up. Is anything too hard for God to do? Absolutely not. God allowed her to have a child. The child was named Isaac. Isaac had two boys, Esau and Jacob. Jacob had 12 boys. One of them was named Judah. Judah had a boy. His name was Perez. Perez had Hezron. Hezron had Aram. Aram had Amminadab. Amminadab had Nahshon. Nahshon had Salmon. Salmon had Boaz. Boaz had Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had a boy. His name was David. David had a boy. His name was Solomon. Solomon had a boy. His name was Reboah. Reboah had Abiah. Abiah had Asa. And Asa had Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had Joram. Joram had Ozias. Ozias had Jotham. Jotham had Achazic. Achazic had Ezekias. Ezekias had Manasseh. Manasseh had Amon. Amon had Josiah. Josiah had Zeanias. Zeanias had Salathiel. Salathiel had Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel had a boy. His name was Abihu. Stay with me, please. Abihu had Eliakim. Eliakim had Azar. Azar had Sadokin. Sadokin had Achan. Achan had Elihu. Elihu had Eleazar. Eleazar had Matthan. Matthan had a boy. His name was Jacob. Jacob had a boy. His name was Joseph. Joseph married a woman. Her name was Mary. Mary had a baby. His name is Jesus. That's the one who built this church that we are members of today. God is good. He's come a long way. We must stay. Let's don't get this close to the finish line and fall down. You know, if you want to be a member or a part of this body of Christ, plan of salvation, that you hear the gospel, which you just heard, that you believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept Him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ. Those who are already members but have strayed away, been doing things you know you shouldn't have done, you need to come back today. You need to be restored to the body of Christ. and soul. While truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice today while together we stand and sing.
Oh, Savior, how our need is. Oh, Savior, wait for thee. Hear his word, the tender pleading. He is his grace, just come to me. He is calling, softly calling. On thy ears, his voice is falling, he is calling, softly calling, come to me and be at rest. He has died for thy transgression, if thou wilt. Thou can't be free. So we wait for thy confession. Savior, I will go to thee. He is calling, softly calling. On thy knees, his voice is calling. Calling, softly calling, come to me and be at rest. Do not linger till tomorrow, let thy love be answered be. Savior in my joy or sorrow, I will ever go to thee. He is calling, softly calling, on thy knees, his voice is calling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest. He is calling, softly calling. On thy ear, his voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling.